Lions fans. It's the M66 North Detroit Lions podcast with Randy and
hey.
Rich. Coming to you this week from Camp Michigania.
Whoa.
Don't tell nobody.
No, don't tell nobody. We kind of heard sneaking, some rumors.
Sneaking in.
Yeah.
There's some cabins out there, and if you want to get away and you're employed by the University of Michigan, in the middle of the winter, you might be able to get yourself up there pretty easily and get away from...
What are you hinting at, Rich?
There's a certain football game that happened this weekend.
Yeah, you think
the coach might...
be hibernating in Camp Michigania?
Yeah.
Huh, I wonder. Well, that's why we're here, isn't it? Kind of do a podcast and an investigation at the same time.
Yes, we could be one of those investigating...
Hey, coach, where are you?
...podcasts, right?
Right on, yeah. I think I'd want to get away, too. I mean, after losing my sixth consecutive bowl game...
Man...
I'm sorry, Michigan fans. You know, I rooted for Michigan, too.
He was.
Because that generates a lot of revenue coming into the Big Ten if they win, you know. But last 6 years, Michigan just has not been able to generate any revenue coming into the Big Ten. Yeah. Well, you know.
There's revenue.
Well, sure. There is revenue with the Big Ten win and the conference and all that, but. Championship, but
yeah, as far as bowl wins in my lifetime,
yeah, that's the big money though. That's where you know, that's where the cash comes in, and it give the state of Michigan not just Michigan, but you know, complete Big Ten.
It's been a while since I've looked at the line of bowl games, you know, in history, right, in the last 50 years for Michigan. And but I'd be surprised if it was a winning record.
Well, I guess it all comes right down to who you think the tougher, you know, conference is. You know, are you going to go SEC, ACC, you know, Big Ten, you know, Pac-12 or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's proven that, you know, the SEC, you know, Georgia, you know, Alabama, you know, those guys down there play some pretty rough football, and they've been bringing championships to that part of
Georgia's
football
back recently. You know, they really hadn't done a whole lot since Stafford was there.
Georgia's always been there, though. They've been like, you know, in the top 10 or top 5. You know, they've always been there, especially...
Not so much top 5 until recently.
Recently, right? Yeah.
Yeah, with this whole bowl craziness, right? The bowl championship. Which may be getting expanded.
Right, they're talking about bringing in USC, and who's the other one?
Well, it would have been those. Had the number of teams been 12 instead of the 4.
Right.
This year, the top 7, Utah and blah, blah, blah. It'd be interesting, you know, because then, you know, Michigan can lose to, like, Fresno State or something, and we don't have to go through all the hype, you know.
Let's get it over with. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, we call ourselves a Big Ten. We've already got 14 teams. What's two more?
Oh, well, that whole thing is, we'll see what happens with USC and UCLA. I'm still not convinced it's happening, but it might be happening.
Is it going to make the Big Ten any more competitive? Is recruiting is where it's all at. The kids all want to go south, you know. That's where, you know, the majority of the championships are, with Alabama, now Georgia, Clemson, LSU, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's where it seems to be all the recruiting is being... The more successful recruiting, I should say.
Yeah, it's a weird deal with, you know, Mississippi and Alabama. It's like a lot of those kids are recruited in 7th and 8th grade, and you know, they're committed, and not necessarily the stars,
right?
You know, the bulk of their team, you know.
Well, remember Oklahoma and Texas? They also are big football states. You know, they don't have you know, Texas has pro team, but Oklahoma doesn't. Oklahoma is just about as big as rodeo down there, you know, football. Exactly. Football is, you know.
But you know how much exporting they do.
Right, exactly. You know, like to Alabama or Georgia or, you know, LSU, Clemson, all the southern states, you know, Florida State.
Yeah, then the Alabama kids just generally stay at home.
Right, you know.
Mississippi kids stay at home, Mississippi State.
Yeah. Well, this year, you know, if the Lions are going to draft anybody, it sure would be nice if they could get that big defensive tackle out of Georgia. He is a mountain of a man. And
that's why we're talking so much college. Right?
Yeah, because, you know, we're getting excited. You know, sure, we got the Lions last week just freaking thumped the dog snot out of freaking Chicago. And I loved every second of it because that means this year
we
own Chicago this year. You know, they, no matter how bad we were, we beat Chicago both games. And just like I said, we would at the beginning.
Like I said, we would.
Yeah.
Now, can we
beat Green Bay twice? You know,
I'll drink to that. I will.
I would too, if I had any alcohol in my coffee.
But yeah, Green Bay. You know, it was not my prediction to. I guess I really hemmed and hawed because of the status of Rodgers in the final week of the season.
You know,
not knowing what the stakes would be, whether he'd be playing or not.
Right.
Would it be like last year where they'd pull him in the second half? And
well, I just
even though we were beating him regardless. And
I didn't want to change my story with the way things turned in the event of what happened with Mr. Rodgers last summer and all the bullshit that went with it. You know, what else
continues to go.
What else? Yeah, and it's still, but you know, the thing is though that, you know, Todd and I, we'd always talk about how they're going to spend this much money on Aaron Rodgers. They're not going to be able to put a team around him. Well, you know, they kind of had a hard time doing it, but they got a team around him. Now they got the same record as the Lions going into the last game of the season for second place, and this is a battle. This is a lot at stake here because, you know, either Green Bay or Detroit could go to the playoffs. If Seattle loses to the Rams, then Detroit would go if they win.
Yeah.
They beat Green Bay.
Yep.
Now, if the Rams lose to Seattle and the Lions lose to Green Bay, then it would be Green Bay, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Or would it be Seattle?
Green Bay would be Green Bay
because Green Bay has the tiebreaker over Seattle.
Yeah, pretty much Green Bay wins and Green Bay's in. It's win and in for them. They're not relying on anyone else.
Right. That's why Detroit can't lose this game.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we were dreading.
Right.
Last week, 2 weeks ago.
You know? Yeah, but I wasn't dreading it. This is what I've been saying right from the beginning. Yeah. You know, Detroit's going to beat
because you want to get it done last week. You know, you don't want to be a week behind in your
That's why they should have beat Carolina.
That's why they should have beat Seattle in week four.
Yeah. Yep, they should have. They lost by 3 points.
Yeah, you score 45 points and lose, you don't deserve to win the game.
Well,
45-48.
That's a high-scoring game.
You should win a 45-point game every time. You just should.
Yeah.
And like Seattle did.
I don't want to talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, but the Rams have to beat Seattle in order for Detroit to go. And and Detroit has to win. But, you know, that's very possible.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think I'd ever find myself rooting for, what's his name? The guy that went there from Cleveland, Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I've always liked Baker, the way that he's got a mouth, but, you know, hey, that's so what,
it's like,
you know?
It's someone else's, some other team's mouth, and it's fun to listen to.
Yeah.
He's got good commercials.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
Yeah, they're going to be in a different location now.
Now, here's, I've been thinking, you know, because you got Stafford out there, and he's on the sidelines of all these games and in the rooms with Baker.
Yeah.
And talking about, dude, we got to get the Lions in the playoffs, man. Come on, we gotta win this game.
Well, that would be cool. Matt would be.
Are they having those conversations?
Yeah, say,
come on,
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Generate a little excitement for the
They're not playing for shit.
No,
you know, but Baker Mayfield's playing. You know, for you know himself. You know, he's auditioning still. He's like constantly on auditions, right? Yeah. You know.
Well, you know, and, you know, he might found himself a home there because I have to wonder for as much money they're giving Matt Stafford is if they can actually hang on to him. How long can they keep paying him this money and build a team
again? How long does his wife let him play?
Well, I don't think he's going to retire, but I think he might go to another team again this year. I mean, you know, how
possible.
Yeah. How big was his contract?
I think McVay likes him. I think he wants him around healthy.
Right. Aren't they like brother-in-laws or something like that?
No, I don't know.
I think his wife is married to, like, McVay's sister or something like that.
Gosh. I don't know.
His wife's sister.
Enough.
I don't know. They had a family reunion in Cabo, you know? So...
I was not privy to that conversation. Nor am I privy to any Jim Harbaugh conversations about him going to Denver or Carolina.
Yeah, well, let's get back on track here. Let's talk a little bit more about this Chicago game. Right. I mean, the Lions did so well that even Sudfeld got to play, you know?
Yay!
Yeah.
Break out the Suds.
Absolutely. Okay, now let's see. Now, Hutchinson had a half a sack with three interceptions. On the year now?
Yeah.
Okay, he's got his third one.
It's got to be some sort of record.
I believe it is. I mean, I think it's going to be like...
Along with the sacks, yeah. As a
probably
rookie.
One more step to him being defensive player, rookie player of the year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I know it. No doubt about it.
Yeah, because Sauce is, you know, giving him... Or he's giving Sauce a run for his money.
Right.
Sauce has been running away with it.
Yeah, Hutchinson even had a pass defended this time, too.
Yeah.
So, tackle for loss, I believe, even like in the third or fourth quarter.
Did you see that, the play that he got the interception on? Did you see the breakdown of that play?
Yeah, I did.
They had John Paschal up
there.
Yeah,
they had one guy that was going to rush, and then they dropped him back, too, at the snap of the ball. There was no rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Y Fields just threw it up there like that. I mean, Hutchinson just went up and got it, both hands, you know?
Yeah. That was just great. I watched it in reverse, you know, on my phone, or not my phone, on my DVR. I didn't even realize, you know, that it was just one guy there off center, you know?
Yeah.
And
it took me aback, too. I had to take a double take. Well, where's the brush? Oh, yeah, they want everybody... back and outside so they can't get out of bounds.
Yeah.
You know,
Hutch just hanging out there in the sideline.
I really think Hutch could have gone for it. I think he could have run that back.
Yeah. I mean, it's smarter of him. Just get down.
I know.
Don't fumble. I'm not a ball carrier. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly it.
Yep. Good for him. Definitely just jumping out the freaking box.
So how many sacks did Houston get? This time around?
Three.
Three.
Yeah.
Not to mention Paschal.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been great.
The young guys coming on, though. This is what, you know, what Campbell's always been preaching, you know. You kind of got to keep them young and healthy. And when you got those kind of guys coming in here, the right kind of guys in the right scheme, doing the right things at the right time, like Paschal and Houston have been doing.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the team will fall in, you know, and it should. I mean, you know, when you got somebody playing, you know, high rate football that's right next to you, you're going to want to play at that same rate. And that's proven true with Hutchinson, Kaminsky, you know.
And, you know, the way we were talking earlier
McNeil,
at the kitchen kitchen table about how different the D-line is since the first time we played Green Bay.
Right, yeah.
You know, with all these guys we're now talking about, you know, because the only ones there were McNeil, Paschal. It was Paschal's first
game.
Yeah. And Julian, of course, not...
Not Romeo. Romeo. Yeah, was Julian was there, but Romeo wasn't.
And Kaminsky, Hutchinson. I don't think
Kaminsky was there yet.
Brockers didn't have any stats.
No.
And Bugs wasn't there.
Bugs wasn't there yet.
I think Jones was there. I think
Benito. We didn't look him up, but I know.
I know. I was thinking he was offensive line there. B. Jones. Yeah, he was there.
Right. But so, Bugs wasn't there, and that's a big one there, and I don't think Levi wasn't coming in.
No, he was in.
Barnes had the only sack in that game.
He was in Dallas getting surgery. Levi was done.
Yeah. When you said Barnes got the only sack in that game, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So.
So it's we have a different defensive front than the last time, and
a whole different defense in a sense. The DBs working differently.
Okuda's, Tracy's not here anymore.
Okuda's not running around as your number one. You got Hughes subbing him out a lot of the times.
That's right, and Deshaun Elliott's coming back in. So this week is what we've heard.
Yeah.
So that's going to solidify your safeties a little bit more. Especially that's going to be good for Iffy. You know, because he had a really good game this past week.
Yeah.
And I was surprised because...
Almost breakout.
Yeah, you know, because I've been kind of giving him a lot of crap, especially when during the games when we tweet, you know. This could be detrimental to his career, you know, because, you know, everybody's kind of going, well, you know, if he's kind of iffy right now, you know. But, you know, he is a draft pick. They're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think they think, you know, maybe they think he just needs another year of development, but maybe he just needs that extra year to get healthy.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like I think just taking everything in, he's been hurt so much. It's taken him a long time to get to where he could be aggressive and not worry about
getting injured.
You know, because you get, you know, exerting yourself and getting to top.
It could be a little overwhelming for him. Like, it takes a little bit more to develop that knowledge of the speed of the game.
Yeah.
Because that I tell you what, that's he's going to make or break you. I mean, if you're in the NFL, your speed will save your ass. No matter if you don't have the agility, but you got the speed, you're probably going to get you on the team, you know?
Yeah. And so, you know, so it's still wide open for Melifonwu or however.
I like
it. Awesome. He's been on the team for this long. We still are unsure as to...
Well, how long has he been on the team? It can't be any more than 2 years.
Right. Whatever it is.
You know, you know, and he's a late round guy too.
I'm just saying, we still don't know his name, and it's been 2 years. That's pretty awesome. And it's not just us. I mean, it's...
Right.
You know, people are pronouncing it different ways all over the place.
Ifeatu Melifonwu.
Ifeatu. There's all sorts of stuff still going on.
Right on. Gotcha.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, Joseph, he's kind of been up and down, but, you know, he's a late-round guy too, right?
Which one, sorry?
Joseph. Kirby. Was he the fourth-rounder?
Joseph. God, when did he go?
He's not. He
was second-rounder, wasn't he?
He was the early-round DB that we picked, right?
Yeah.
The other guy's on IR, right?
We only have four. Who are you talking about? I didn't look at the list there.
No, Lucas. That's who I'm thinking.
Yeah, Chase Lucas.
Lucas.
But he's a corner.
Right, yeah, but he's still a defensive back.
True.
That's what I was getting at.
You did say DB. Forgive me.
Yeah. Never! So let's go offense here. Swift had over 100 yards of total offense.
Before we get to offense, Pittman had a good game too.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. Pittman,
awesome.
Yeah, Pittman was out there. on the edge at one point.
Oh, I know.
With a bunch of people.
I know Okuda didn't have a very good game. And we kind of should bring... Let's talk about Jeff A. Because
I mean, it's weird what they've been doing. You know, did they bench him, right? People have mentioned
that. That's the question, you know.
Or did they... Were they legitimately trying to get Hughes some snaps?
Well, they've been playing...
And while at the same time thinking, okay, Okuda could use some time on... as gunner on special teams.
Yeah.
Get him out there tackling and hitting people again and getting right with the fundamentals and just a refresher course. And while with Hughes playing better, he's a young kid, and you don't get better just watching, sitting on the sidelines, you know. But when do you get time to throw a kid like that into the mix as your outside corner? Well, you probably do it on a day when you got when you're playing a team like the Chicago Bears that doesn't have any wide receivers.
Right.
You know, so well, maybe it's a calculated risk with the Okuda benching. Maybe it's not a benching. Is to okay?
Well, I don't
it's
know.
This is me,
right?
In my thoughts, all not right. Your.
Well, thoughts. So I'm going to give my thoughts.
Let me finish my thought, and you'll have 5 minutes to talk.
I'm sorry, Rich. I thought you were done.
I hadn't stopped talking. So, but you see what I'm saying. You know, maybe Okuda wasn't so much a benching as a calculated risk. And okay, you know, it's a scheme thing, and we can put Hughes in there and go with Oruwariye, who had been benched before, and give him a lot more snaps and get these guys some confidence.
We'll say Awarie did have a little higher PFF grade. No, but
so there you go.
Yeah, so, but now you're going to let me talk?
For 5 minutes, man. I'm set.
Well, I don't need 5 minutes.
All right.
I don't need 5 minutes. That's too long.
I only needed like a minute.
Right. I don't know what happened with Jeff. Maybe he re-injured that groin or the shoulder or whatever it was. But, you know, his tackling fell right off. You know, and that I've given Okuda a lot of crap about how he covers people and sometimes gets burned, takes the wrong angle stuff early on in his career. But the one thing that I've always liked about Jeff Okuda is the way that he tackled. And right now, I mean, if you go back and look at the stats for like 3 weeks, 4 weeks now, you know, his tackling has fallen right off from where it was.
Snap counts have gone.
Yeah, so I don't know if he kind of is, you know, like has an aggravation with one of those injuries or a re-aggravation, and they just, like, you know, said, well, you know, Hughes has been fighting really hard. Let's just give Okuda, you know, snaps at gunner, and we'll, you know, give him a week off, kind of, you know, and let Hughes take the majority of the snaps.
That also, to me, would say that he's probably not injured. If you're a gunner, you're probably not injured.
Well, that's right, and that's what I was thinking too. You know, because you got to be fast to be a freaking gunner. You know.
Yeah.
And you can't be hurting because you're going to hit somebody. You know?
You got to be able to maneuver and
right. Yeah. You know, but I think he's just in a doghouse. You know, I think he's been not playing up to his ability, and I think Campbell and company, the new defensive back guys, you know, Brian Duker, Lynch, probably see that, you know, yeah, you know, Okuda probably, you know, but Campbell makes final decisions, you know, but
yeah. You know what I like?
Less snaps now, a lot less snaps.
What I'd compare it to is the rookie wall or second year slump. You know, one of those kind of things where it just, you know, it's the end of the season, and this is more football than he's ever played in a span,
right?
From being hurt, and then just college, you know.
Right, but you know, even though Jeff was Okuda, he was not a pick of.
No, it was
this regime. He was previous, previous regime.
Quinn's last number one.
Right, but he was a number three overall pick. And,
yeah.
And they saw, you know, what they seen something on tape, or they seen something when, you know, they're working him out. You know, he could be what they wanted him to be, so they give him a chance.
There was no one else that really warranted a slot on the team at that point.
Right. You know, but they
number three.
But the thing is, you know, they've had two drafts since him. You know, since that time, they could have drafted somebody that could have taken over for him. But
yeah, there were better options, better corners before and after.
Right. But you know, maybe Imani wasn't a top three guy, and we've always said that. But you know, maybe he was a top 10-15 guy.
Jeff, not Imani.
Jeff A.
Yeah, Jeff O.
Jeff O. Yeah, I keep Imani. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're right next to each other there.
I see it.
Imani Okuda.
Right. Imani I just think Okuda, you know, he's in the rotation now. He's not going to get the start because he's in the doghouse. Maybe he's just not playing up to his potential. Is he injured? Is he hurt? Maybe there's some little tweak or something. Yeah, that's bugging him. Maybe he's, you know, had the same thing Swift I had, you know, little ouchy boo-boos, you know, that they can play through, but they're just kind of pampering themselves, you know. But I don't know. It's like Okuda, I think he's just in the doghouse, you know. He can't be hurt, you're right, because they put him out there on the gunner spot.
Well, whatever's going to, it's something, whether it's a slump or a doghouse or something.
Right.
Maybe he both.
was the one that started.
You're in a slump, get in the doghouse.
Maybe Okuda was the one that complained the most about the field there in Carolina.
Oh, did you hear about that, though? No. The league is opening an investigation.
Yes, I did read that. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have that here.
It wasn't because they were whining about the cold.
No, the Lions complained about the field conditions and filed a grievance.
Yeah.
And the NFL, I guess, is investigating with the complaint because the players' union is involved, too. And I think that's probably the whole reason why they're investigating, because the players' union.
Yeah. I mean, what can you do?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a freaking Southern Stadium. It's the coldest day ever.
It ain't going to change the outcome of the game, any. I mean, everybody's going to finish with the same record, you know.
Well, we got our asses whooped. We went on a warm field. It wouldn't matter.
But, you know, they might make Carolina now put those tubes in the ground, like what's underneath Lambeau, you know. Make those steam tubes or whatever heat the field so the grass is...
You know, there is a certain faction out there, and that believe that every team should play in a dome. That way, the conditions are the same week to week for every game to game, town to town.
Well, you know? See, and I don't agree with that. I think you need outdoor stadiums. I mean, I kind of wish Detroit still played in an outdoor stadium. They haven't done that since, 1970s?
Yeah.
And starting with the Silver Dome. And, but, man, you know, this team is good. I mean, Detroit is good, but they're not quite there yet. Are they going to...
Right where they should be, right? They're almost playoff material.
Actually, they're
almost making the playoffs.
So they're ahead of schedule. They're ahead of schedule, right?
For sure. Yeah.
You know, we figured last year we won 3.5 games. So, you know, yeah, okay, you win 6, maybe 7 games this year. We're at 8.
Yeah.
You know, we're ahead of schedule. Yeah. And with one game left to go to for the probability of going to the playoffs, we win out. You know, if we win out, then everything else after that is beyond our control.
Well, you know, but now the Lions have been flexed to Sunday night,
which makes it
so there's nothing else after the Lions game, right? Except maybe we'll take a second and talk about the Cincinnati Buffalo Bills game.
Oh man, sad deal.
That'll maybe finished next week, maybe not. DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah,
injury Monday night.
Very sad. Very sad.
T. Higgins hit. I just shocked everybody. You know, and you see these things. We've both lived through a
couple of things.
Yeah. Mike Utley.
Mike Utley. We've seen that. Yeah.
Reggie Moore.
Reggie Brown.
Yes, Reggie Brown.
Yep. We've seen that happen too, and then. You know, but the tragedy from that team that went one game shy of the Super Bowl with Barry, that whole offensive line pretty much decimated. You know, was that, what year was that? 94 or something like that?
Yeah.
And yeah, with when Andelsack got he got run over by a big old truck, you know, and I thought he was raking leaves in
his. Oh, but yeah, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, because yeah. I think he lived in the South, you know, and then Utley was, you know, had his accident, was in a wheelchair, you know, and there was a couple other things, like Miles Davis had a heart attack, you know, it's like that whole thing just kind of blew up in one off season, you know.
Yeah.
And they came back in 95, and they were not the same team.
Yeah. And that there was someone shooting like 1970 or so, another Lions guy, but he had someone that had a pre-existing heart condition, but was but played knowing the risk.
Right.
His son's like 53 now, right. Or something like that.
Yeah, so and they're
they gave their condolences.
There's been a bunch of. Stuff that, you know, the players in the NFL and with the Lions, it's, you know, that's been injured and hurt really bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a rough sport, you know. It's it takes its toll after a few years if you don't get injured. You know, it's not a matter of, you know, if, it's a matter of when, you know. And 'cause,
yeah, just how bad.
Yeah. So, you know, the players know that, and that's the chance they take. They sign up for that stuff. That's why they get paid the big bucks, because they are risking life and possible life and limb, you know?
Yeah.
And well, you know, that's what they train for. Technique is very important, you know, especially when everybody's so strong and so fast. And yeah. So agile,
different,
you know?
Different game than
it is.
Used to be. And that's the thing with that that's T. Higgins, you know. I mean, that he's not the biggest guy out there, but he's pretty big, and he's fast, and he just caught him right and shoulder to the
right.
To me, uneducated, I shouldn't even say, but looked like a shoulder to the heart.
Well, that's exactly on, right? From what I understand is what happened. You know, it was just a hit to the heart. And the reason that he was able to get up after the hit is because he still had one beat left in his heart. It gave him the energy to stand up. But when the time came for that next beat, it wasn't there, and down he went.
Yeah.
And I've been praying for this kid right since the time I heard about it. And I can't, you know, say stress enough. You know, it's just, you know.
You know, and players get hurt all the time with ACLs and head injuries.
It's such a sad thing, man.
It was so different for the players than not just your average, season-ending injury, right? To where
life-threatening.
Yeah.
But you know, with all the focus these days in the NFL on head trauma, you know how to the design of the helmet, how to make, you know, brain injuries, you know, the percentage of them go down. And they're doing pretty good with that, but who would think that a shoulder pad to the chest could stop somebody's heart that fast?
Yeah.
You know, it does make, especially if you're only 26 years old and...
You're 24.
Yeah, 20, see? Yeah. Then come on, I'm 62, somebody hit me in the heart, I'll be dead in my tracks, you know?
But the thing is, you know, like, with that, you know, it's a fight or flight reaction when someone's coming at you personally, you know, on the street or whatever, the schoolyard.
Right.
But when you're, and you can deflect someone's fist coming at you or, you know, body coming at
right.
you. But when you're a football player, you're thinking, hey, get the football. This dude's coming at me, I'm going to hit him. And this dude's coming at
they're
me, I'm going to tackle him.
They're playing, not, you know?
You're not, like, thinking like a Viking, I'm going to swat this sword away from my heart, you know?
Well, they're going to have to,
absorb this tackle. And
I'm pretty sure now they're going to probably have to have some kind of chest protector where to absorb that kind of a hit. You know, even though the hit, you know, that kind of a hit takes place one in a million, you know,
right? There could be a new regulation,
but you know, people do get hurt that way. You know, so
yeah, I don't know exactly what No, but I can't picture what their shoulder pads look like under the jersey these days, but I picture the laces in the front.
I don't think there are any laces anymore. I think they just form fit over the shoulders, and then they've got like a elastic underneath the under the arm to hold them down.
Okay.
But that could be different too. That could be a whole harness now, you know?
Right.
You know, and then, and if that be the case, then they could probably incorporate something on that harness that wouldn't be too bulky. I mean, you'd want these things on your wide receivers mostly, I would think. You know, and your running DBs. Backs, too, the guys that are going to be receiving passes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I would think, you know, because they're the ones that's going to be most exposed to those kind of hits.
And the tacklers out there, your DBs. You know, there seems to be a trend where, you know, you're going to maybe have different helmets for your linemen because of their concussions, and you get different equipment for your DBs, and that, right now it's kind of one size fits all,
right? You know, well, and it's kind of been, you know, that ever throughout the centuries, but you know,
if
just
you wanted, you could wear within your last, shoulder pads or whatever.
Last 25 years, there's been a lot of changes, you know.
Yeah, but they're all, it's your safety gets the same change as your D lineman, you know.
Yeah, true.
You know, safety wise, in they need to, I think with all this next-gen stats that they got going on, and they can figure out who, you know, usually like this many concussions in the NFL over this many years.
Right.
And, well, but which position, what down?
Right.
What is it, running downs as opposed to, you know, the linemen probably aren't getting the concussions on a passing down. They're getting them on a you know, a goal line stand or something.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, you know, going over the middle. You know, you're right. You want to probably, if they're going to design any kind of a chest protector, yeah, I would want them on the wide receivers, but you're also right. You'd probably want them on the DBs as well.
Yeah.
Because if they intercept, you know, they're subjected to the same kind of hit.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, that makes sense to me. But, you know, I don't think you need to make your linebackers wear them. You know, I wouldn't think you'd need to make, you know, your defensive ends and your linemen wear them, you know, because they're not involved with them kind of hits, you know. Everything is close quarter. It's more blocking and pushing than it is hitting, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, there could be some interesting ways to, you know, to deal with player safety.
I think we will hear more about it, you know, and with this summer coming up, I'm pretty sure they'll probably be developing, you know, this summer, looking into it, at least having meetings on it, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So our hearts go out to him.
Oh, big time. Yes.
Getting great care in Cincinnati. And
you know, everybody's been saying that, you know, they're talking about how responsive the crew on the sidelines were and how professional and how good the treatment they gave him, you know, to get him to the hospital. And another class act too was the broadcasters there for the TV ESPN. Guys. They
had no idea what to do. And
no, but they really did a good job. They did. Yep. So kudos there too, guys. Nice job.
Yeah. But so let's get back to the Lions.
Yeah. I want to go switch over to the offensive side. You know. Kuda being what he is, and our secondary being what it is, it is a little disheartening when you got to go against Aaron Rodgers next week. So that's all I want to hit on there. Flipping over to the offensive side, what can you say? What bad can you say about Jared Goff?
What bad can I say about Jared Goff? He played so bad that Sudfeld had to come in.
Oh, that's bad. No, he had. Sudfeld had to come in, yeah, but he just to kind of finish out the game because Jared didn't need to be out there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, right. He playing in Detroit in the dome, he's the best quarterback in the NFC North.
No. Yep. He loves himself some tight ends there, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so you're a big history buff and war buff. The Tet Offensive.
Right. You know, Vietnam.
I know it was fairly carnal, a lot of carnage. But I'm thinking Tet, is like tight end touchdown.
Bad analogy, Rich.
I know it's bad.
Bad analogy. I have an uncle who was part of that Tet offensive. Yeah. He was a mechanic on a base, and they were mortaring the shit out of him, and he was under a mattress, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, just thinking, man, the next one's gonna hit. You know, it's like, no, he survived it, and he's living his life. Yeah. You know, out on our 100-year-old farm.
Kudos to him. That's awesome. And you know, so it's a bad analogy, but you see how it popped into my head though, because it's tight ends, man. Like you said,
You didn't need Hockenson. You know, Hockenson was just going to cost us a bunch of money for a mediocre, you know, whatever. You know, look, now you got Brock Wright, who, you know, Dan Campbell says he's the guy that does all the dirty work.
Yeah.
You know, Kabinda's been on the injury list, so you know you needed another guy to take over for that. You know. And that's been Brock Wright. And
the timing that they have, that Brad Holmes has, is really impeccable. I mean, he's getting ahead of things, with when you're at least talking in with this tight end deal. It's like he was looking ahead at how healthy they were going to be down the stretch, and he got rid of Hockenson at a time that
wasn't Dan Campbell, that was Brad Holmes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I said Brad Holmes.
Oh, I thought you said Dan Campbell.
Oh, I meant to say Brad Holmes. If I didn't, you know,
that's all right. Yeah, go ahead.
He got rid of
Hockenson.
Hockenson, thank you. When he was at the top of his game, really, you know, you want to get rid of this or whatever he said in the end zone that day, you know, two days later he was traded.
Oh, the thing is he's just, you know, he'd have flashes of glory, but it wasn't consistent enough to get the money that he was making.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, you know, that
doing that in Minnesota now.
Well, in Minnesota, though, they use him differently than what Detroit did. Detroit needed him to block, like what Brock Wright is doing. And Hutchinson is not a blocker.
And Mitchell's blocking as well.
Right, yeah, but he's not that good of a blocker, Hutchinson. I mean, you know, he's can.
Oh, wait, what? Hutchinson?
Mm-hmm. The other one.
Mitchell? What are you talking about?
The one that we traded.
Hutchinson. Hockenson.
Hockenson. Yeah.
Lord.
Good, yeah. See, now this is why I'm glad they traded him, okay? Yeah, we don't have to talk about Hockenson.
We haven't screwed anymore. That up in a year.
I know it, but Hockenson is being used differently in Minnesota than what he's been was used in Detroit. They will use him
the way he wants to be used.
The way that he wants to be used. So it's a better fit for him. So I'm glad for that. And what I'm really glad for is not only does Brock Wright come in here and get three touchdowns, or was that Zylstra?
Zylstra.
Yeah, so I'm saying that Brock Wright got two touchdowns this time, and last week Zylstra got three. So, you know, I don't miss TJ Hockenson.
Right.
At one freaking bit.
No.
I am glad they traded him, and we're going to probably even be more so glad come draft when we pick whoever we get for the draft picks that we got for Hockenson.
There you go.
And I guarantee you, it probably will not be a tight end.
There you go. Right. Yeah, I agree. I think that's I feel like it's a safe bet that they don't really need to spend capital on a tight end this year.
No, I honestly don't think they're even looking at tight end. I mean, if they are, it's going to be for the practice squad because of what Mitchell has done, you know, so far. I mean, he's
and
a good blocker.
How far ahead Wright is.
He catches passes. You know, he blocks. He's good, you know, and he's a rookie. Yeah. So, you know, I really think they like those three guys. And if they want a fourth one, they'll probably, if they get one like after the draft, undrafted free agent or even seventh round, if they have that pick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I'm still thinking maybe not. You know, if they do, it'll probably be best player available. You know, if they do pick up.
It shouldn't be a tight end.
Yeah, we need so many other things. I mean, you know, yeah. On offense, I mean, look, who would be your top? I mean, what position would you draft Detroit's top five picks in the top 75 players? We have five picks.
All right, yeah.
What would you draft?
Okay. I want a defensive tackle. I want another defensive end. But that also technically could be an outside linebacker, right?
No. But to me, you're talking.
Yeah. But, okay. Just because the whole Bryant, Julian Okora thing, and even Davis, Jared Davis,
right?
You know, it's an area that could be beefed up. So I'm thinking tackle, another D lineman, and you got to think a little bit of offense, because you got to prepare for running backs. I don't have a good feel as to where the sweet spot is
for running backs.
Yeah, or for anything, right? Now, really. I don't want to put running back third, right? But I want to go with a guard prospect as well. So, but that's still like, you know.
Right.
Trenches. Right. So that's I got three trenches. Four running back. And then I start with that fifth pick. I started thinking about backup quarterback.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No, I respect that. I really don't think they're looking to get a quarterback this year, but. If they are looking to get a quarterback, then maybe this is the year to do it because they have so many first-round picks. I mean, what do we got only one next year, right?
Currently,
yeah. No, I, too, like you, believe that a defensive lineman should be like our first overall pick. And if they do get a guy like that, unless he's a big, giant nose tackle like that guy from Georgia that I like, the nose tackle there.
Yeah.
I got his name.
No, he's not even a nose tackle. He's a straight-up, like, three-tech type, I think, five.
Yeah, tech. But anyway, I like him. I think his name's Carter, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say Carter.
Yeah. And I'd like to get him, like, in the very first overall pick. But,
right. But
the next guy, you know, if you want to – I've always said, you know, two defensive linemen and two two defensive backs. You kind of got Imani Awarie sitting out there going, you know, geez, do we really want to bring him back? You know, because I think he's at the end of his contract. You know, he's a rotational guy. He should be like Tommy says, I think number four in the rotation, yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, Okuda, you know, we talked about Okuda.
Number three, but... Now he's number four.
Yeah, we talked about Okuda earlier. You know, is he a number one guy? What's going on with him? We really don't know, you know. So, you know, he's in the last year of his contract too, isn't he? Or does he got one more year?
He's got one more.
One more?
Yeah.
So, he could be traded thing. If they's not, you know. So the cornerback situation with Jacobs, you know, an undrafted free agent, does really well. I'm glad he is what he is. But, you know, he does have his limitations, but it ain't very much, you know?
Right.
But I still believe that, you know, Detroit should take two defensive backs. And I really do believe that. I mean, we need two of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
And I think they should take them in that top five, you know?
Yeah, because to me, I need to add a corner. Definitely need to add a corner. And I should have added one early, right? And that, I could see the going defensive tackle, and then corner, and waiting on the defensive end type well, I see for now, later because we are getting so many gosh darn right. sacks.
But the thing is, with your defensive linemen now, you know, usually if they're going to, you know, draft a defensive tackle or a defensive lineman, he's going to be able to play inside and outside. Because that's the way Detroit plays their linemen. They both, unless they're playing, you know, a three-man front or a five-man, you know, they're that nose tackle position, you know, like.
Well, they've got too many nose tackles already.
Well, so there you go, you know. So you need a guy that's going to play inside and outside. I mean, you know, and that's, you know, that could be a number of guys, you know. And I haven't really gotten into it. But I did have a bunch of stuff written down, but I don't believe it's in this notebook, so I'm screwed to go there.
I got one, but it's 10 miles
away. Well, you brought up linebackers, okay? I want to say that...
yeah, because we spent so much time on offense.
Well, right, but I don't think they're going... They're not going to... If they're going to draft a linebacker, it's going to be late. I think if they're going to do anything in the linebacker department, they'll do that in free agency. They'll bring in some help for Anzalone. And, you know, like they did with Board. Now, whether Board comes back next year, I don't know. We know Rodrigo will. He's doing really good. Woods is a special teams guru. I really do believe he will come back.
They just added, just because you mentioned that, they added another linebacker this week. And he's an old-timer special teams guru.
Oh, right on.
Like, you know, I'm not sure how old,
Marquise
Nelson?
We didn't write it down. Okay, but, yeah. But yeah, we'll bring more on that next week. Because we'll see if he was just on the practice squad. Yeah, it's not really squad. That big deal, you know?
Right. It's one of those curious things that maybe they're thinking about for next year.
Well,
so,
yeah, just, you know, you get, okay, yeah.
Because maybe Woods or Board won't be around, and, you know, who knows?
No. No.
But yeah, do you got anything else on linebackers before we finish?
Well, I think they're going. They're going to go with free agency on another linebacker. And if they do take a linebacker in the draft, it would probably be, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round, late.
Yeah.
And you know.
So your first five picks are what?
Defensive lineman, probably. Two cornerbacks, and then I want to go on the other side and get an offensive guard, and then that number five would be either, like you say, a running back, or, you know, like I said, if they're going to get a quarterback this year, you know, I don't know if they would do it at that fifth spot, because that's a little bit deep, you know. Yeah. You know, I don't think they're going to do it this year. I really don't. They don't think they need to. I think Jared Goff is the guy. I think they like Sudfeld. You know, he might be their developmental guy. I know they like him better than Boyle
Goff,
and Blau, you know.
Is
so,
he older than Goff?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Nope. And now we got... Steven Montez again back on the practice squad.
Right.
So
yeah.
There are.
Yeah, because Dobbs got poached.
Right. Yeah.
We didn't
so
talk about that either.
Right. Yeah. No, but we just did. You know. So, you know, we got 8 minutes, 7 minutes left here.
Six.
So.
Seven.
Whatever. Okay.
six and an ending.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, but, you know, that's what I would do. I want the offensive lineman for sure. We need to solidify that offensive guard spot. I'm not saying that they're going to pick him third overall. You know, I'm just saying they should take him inside them right. top 75 and with those top five picks.
Betting on Alabudi Bali body in right. his back ailments is not the best
right.
thing.
And along with them two cornerbacks, if that fifth pick, you know, if you're not going to take a running back or, you know, safety, I would go another safety, you know. Or best available one between a safety and a defensive lineman, another D lineman, you know, like get another outside guy, you know.
Right.
Like you know, for that.
Yeah. Austin Bryant.
Yeah, I would see, you know, who would be the most valuable, you know, available at that pick, that number five spot, and say, is it, would it be a defensive lineman, like in a defensive end, or like a running back, or, you know?
Ooh.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's cool. Yeah.
Defensive lineman, two cornerbacks, guard, running back, or
that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Or another lineman.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go with the, so my revised is...
you get a revised vision.
I get a revised.
Because, what?
Because I forgot about cornerback. So, yeah,
well, like I thought we already talked about that.
So I'm going defensive tackle and cornerback and quarterback at some point and running back at some point. So that fifth one is going to be, I get an or as well, a D end or safety.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So. Okay. Yeah. Well, see, now as far as quarterback goes, I want
or outside linebacker.
Quarterback goes, I don't think they're going to take one this year. But if they
counter my counter.
No. Well, if they do, they got somebody special in mind that nobody else knows about, and they're probably going to take him.
Well, like Paschal.
Somebody they're going to take like in the fifth or the sixth round that, you know,
right.
Well, that they see as being the it factor that nobody else sees, like
Paschal in Houston.
Well, like Tom Brady. Okay.
Sure, yeah. I mean,
Tom Brady in the sixth round. True. But, I think if they're going to get a quarterback this year, that's probably going to be how they do it.
Later.
Yeah, it will be somebody that nobody else knows about, you know, and somebody they think they can develop with some kind of special it factor or something. You know, so. Right. But that's Brad Holmes' deal. You know, yeah. I don't think they're going to want to spend a whole lot of money on a quarterback.
A lot of
they've already spent TCU's enough on Goff.
Duggan talk to the Lions. Hey, beat Michigan. Let's get them.
Well,
it's like a poor man's Josh Allen. Yeah, you know, he can run, but doesn't have the arm. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So,
draft is going to be for a different time. Right now, we got one more game to go, and that's going to be Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers been spewing shit with Pat McAfee.
Lions scored 41 points. Green Bay scored 41 points this weekend, both teams. We'll see how many points they score this coming weekend. I haven't seen the weather report, so I don't know what
it's supposed to be cold but sunny.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so good deal. You know, I'm looking forward to this. I want to see. I'm glad they switched it to prime time. Detroit knows, you know, what this game is. They're going to go in there full throttle. I don't think field conditions are going to be as bad as they were in Carolina, and I think they're going to play with a little more heart than they did that week. And coming off a big win of just totally schmucking Chicago, I think Detroit's in a good place to take this game. I'm not going to predict a score, but I'm just going to say Detroit wins.
Yeah. You know, the offense came alive this past week. It should continue. But I think in order to win the game, they're going to have to play a ground game. They're going to have to play possession. They're going to have to play the clock. The Lions are going to have to control time of possession. And I don't see any other way around it.
Yeah, how does Detroit beat the Packers? Well, it takes complementary football, and that's just what Dan Campbell said. You know, complementary football in all three phases of the games. Can't make stupid mistakes.
If you add the clock. Four phases if you add the clock.
Well, true, but then you got to add the freaking refs too, because they got to be careful with Aaron.
Five phases.
They got to be careful with Aaron.
Don't touch his helmet.
Yeah, just don't do anything radical, because the refs will be all over it, and the next thing you know, you'll have 100 yards of penalties.
There you go.
Yeah. Can't make stupid mistakes that lead to stupid penalties.
Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8:20.
Prime time.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be good to see Aaron Rodgers eat crow from what he's been saying with Pat McAfee and all that bullshit. So sorry for my language, folks, but I get a little worked up with that kind of crap.
Yeah. It's just, ratings and bombast.
Yeah, he's just being a dork to get people to click on his shit. So yeah. It's that, because I like Pat McAfee. I always liked what he...
I liked him as a player.
I don't like him now. I mean, he's going to bash in my team. I'm going to start bashing him.
He's only a friend if he likes you. So.
Yeah, he did put out an apology to the Detroit fans.
Too little, too late.
I'm not so sure it was enough. Yep. Yeah,
I don't care. So,
anyway, this has been...
Yeah. DM66, North Detroit Lions Podcast. Randy, at WoodenTunes2. Myself
on Twitter,
that guy Dickie at Piss Poor Packers, and they will be this weekend. Watch for Deer One Pride
and
go Lions.